Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on the 25th day of October, 2021, and we have a special blow them up, blow them out, have yourself a Built Bar, and have yourself some fun World Series preview. That's right. We have the World Series that everybody wanted to see, which is the Atlanta Braves versus your Houston Astros. And I am not going to be doing the heavy lifting. I am merely a host today because today, can you believe it? Do you believe in miracles? I am bringing on board from Locked On Astros, H-Town Wheelhouse, my dear friend. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Sully. Thanks for having us on. We are back in our third World Series in the last five seasons, and it is a great time. It is a great time.
Well, when you say us, there's only one. Oh, wait. No, there's another. That would be Eric Heisman. There he is, also from Locked On Astros. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to renew this rivalry we had back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Chris Burke, an 18-inning game that we all remember to this day.
As do I. But you know what? This feels a little unfair. Yes, I grew up in New England. Yes, the Braves were originally a Boston team, but the Bean Eaters are long gone. Who could we get to represent the Braves? Hey, it's Jake Mastroianni of Locked On Braves. How you doing, man?
Hey, doing great. Sully, thanks for having me on. And we're starting this thing off wrong, talking about Chris Burke and extra innings right now. That is not what Braves fans want to hear.
All right, Eric and H-Town, same question for you about the lineup. We know, like, it's odd. Both Correa and Altuve didn't have overwhelming statistical series, and yet when they got hits, they were huge. And I think the home run by Altuve turned that series around. The Red Sox were going to be up 3-1 without that home run. And I know there was a blown third strike call, but you know, I said to Red Sox fans, it should not have come. It should not have been 2-2 in the ninth. There were so many lost opportunities. That being said, we also saw what Alvarez did. We, you know, huge hits from around, you know, he just was a one-man wrecking crew. Tell me what you think about who needs to step up and what you think about the Astros offense, which is probably the best in baseball.
You know, I was at that game one, where Jose Altuve turned that, where he untied the game. Before that, Carlos Correa shifted momentum in that game, because momentum exactly is definitely game to game. That is what it's going to take. Those guys, Altuve, Correa, I mean, they've got Yuli Gurriel. They've got Yordan Alvarez. They've got Kyle Tucker, who I think is one of the most underappreciated baseball players on the planet. The kid's swing is unbelievable. In the field, he's got a cannon of an arm. And I think the keys are just the Astros go and do what they do best. They don't go down striking out a lot. They are very disciplined with pitches off the plate. They can't chase out of the zone, and they have to trust their abilities, because if they let the Braves pitchers fool them off the plate, if they get in their head about an umpire that's maybe not calling it their way, then things can unravel. But it's baseball, and things can change on a dime, you know, in one pitch. And so I think the key is Altuve will get key hits. Bregman will have key hits. But watch Yordan Alvarez. Watch Kyle Tucker. Watch Yuli Gurriel. Those three, I think, are going to be your three brightest shining stars. And Chaz McCormick may come in there and sneak in and steal some headlines as well.
And Eric, what do you think about Michael Brantley? I mean, he's just a smart hitter in the lineup too. I mean, that's how deep the Astros lineup is. Is H-Town just rattle off a bunch of names? Oh yeah, Michael Brantley's there too. You know.
Well, yeah, and also it depends on, you want to get Alvarez, especially once the series shift to Atlanta. You want there's no DH there, so luckily you have Alvarez, who's been playing a lot of left field this year. And I know that typically they played him against behind Valdez, because he's a ground ball pitcher and he won't get lot of experience out there, but you want him in the lineup, especially what he did against the Red Sox. You need this guy in the lineup. So how is that going to affect the whole lineup situation? I know this year we've seen Kyle Tucker play center field in those situations, but from what I've read, what's the field called?
Truist Park.
Yeah, Truist Park. But it's like the fifth biggest outfield in baseball. So it's a pretty big outfield, and that's to have a guy who doesn't normally play center field in Kyle Tucker playing there, then having Michael Brantley in right field, and then having Alvarez in the outfield, that may hamper the Astros defense, but that will get them the best offense out there. But going back to Michael Brantley, I know that he hasn't been at his best in this postseason yet. He's had some key hits, but at the same time, he's not blowing the cover off the ball, but he hasn't had to, because you have the young kids stepping up like Alvarez. You have some of the other guys stepping up, but I think especially if Alvarez does have to sit, some people like Brantley need to step up and kind of cover for him.
Well, sometimes those are the most terrifying hitters, are the ones who, you know, are very good hitters who didn't have a very good series. Cause you know, they may be like, okay, I didn't do well against Chicago's pitching. I didn't do well against Boston's pitching. I'm going to see another bunch of pitchers and I can sort of, you know, hit reset. And maybe someone like Brantley needs a moment to sort of step back and kind of re-energize, hit reset. And if I were him, I'd grab a Built Bar, because Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars out there. Now, do you guys have a favorite Built Bar flavor?
Cookies and cream.
I'd say the same.
I would say chocolate chip cookie dough, but yeah, I'm a big churro puff guy though.
Well, we all knew that. I always described you as a big churro puff guy, but I'm holding right now. This is coconut brownie chunk, which sounds like a delicious Mad Lib. My personal favorite one is raspberry. I love the combination of the tangy raspberry and the chocolate. But if you ever tried all the flavors, you get a mixed box. You get two of each of the nine flavors. But guys, I want you all to be sitting down. These are not only great tasting, they're healthy too. What this one has, what has this got here? Only 150 calories on this one. It's got 18 grams of protein, 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. Order today, get the grasshopper cookie or your churro thing or your this coconut brownie chunk, raspberry, whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what. That's so many great flavors. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which I think is pretty cool. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built Bar. BuiltBar.com.
Hey, Sully, can I clarify something real quick with Michael Brantley? He's actually batting in 311 on this series with the postseason, but his OPS is 667. He has had some key hits. That's why I was saying he has had big doubles. Like he had a big double in that, and I think it was game 4 or game 5 that kind of gave them a lead. So I'm not saying he struggled big time, but I just would like to see a little bit more power versus the singles hitter that we've seen.
That's but fun. You also know that he's going to be someone who keeps the rally moving. You know right. That some, he's going to be, you know, and he could explode, but you also know that he's just, it's important to have players like that.
Right.
You know, every championship team has players that have the ones that are the big, huge run producers, but also the ones that just keep it moving. Just let's keep it going. And I think that you're going to see, I don't know, you know, we're in this here. We're going to talk a little bit about the X factors. I want to hear your predictions, but Jake, what do you think the one sort of X factor, the thing that could, you know, bounce here or there, could make or break the Braves' chances to win their first World Series title since David Justice homered off of Poole in game 6?
Yeah, 1995. It's been a while. We already talked about, you know, the starting pitching. I think that's the biggest X factor. How deep can Morton and Fried and Anderson go in these games and keep that Astros offense at bay and give the Braves offense time to go to work against, you know, their starters? Because I think the Braves will score. I think the Astros will score too. But I think the key is who can outscore in the early innings, you know, and that's typically the key in postseason baseball anyway, when you're using your best relievers every night at the back end of games, you know, who can get that early advantage. So I think that's going to be, you know, the biggest X factor is Can the Braves starters keep the Astros at bay long enough to give the Braves offense a chance to go to work and get a 2-3 run lead going into those late innings? Because as good as the Braves bullpen has been, Braves fans are too scarred by 31 one-run losses this year. They have lost a lot of close games, second most in all of baseball, which is why they remained under 500 for much of the year. So, again, as great as the bullpen has been, if you're a Braves fan and watching all year long, you know you still want that extra cushion going into late innings. But for me, the X factor is going to be those early innings for the Braves offense, trying to put up, you know, 4 or 5 runs early in the game. And we talked about it too. It's the bottom of that order that just hasn't gotten going. You know, whether it's been, you know, Duvall, Darnold, Swanson. If that bottom of the lineup can get going, turn it over for those guys at the top, and Rosario and Albies and Freeman and Riley, and set them up for RBI opportunities, then I think the Braves will be just fine in this series.
All right, H-Town, Eric, same for you, talking about the Astros X factor.
You know, I think the X factor kind of counters y'all's early scores, your early inning scoring, because we have had late inning scoring where we have scored 1 or 2 runs to start a game. We have come back. We actually have a postseason record now, and I don't know where the count stopped, but last I heard it was 36 two out runs this postseason, which is unbelievable. So when the Astros have 2 outs and it's the 9th inning, we still have opportunities. And so I think that's going to be the key. They have to continue to find a way to produce runs. The relief pitchers have to shove every time they're on the mound. They have to go out there and trust their stuff, not try to get too fancy. They've got to stay in the zone, and they've got to trust that Martin Maldonado, who's probably going to be behind the plate every game this series, that he's going to lead them. And he has been a key factor. That Kendall Graveman strike him out, and then Martin Maldonado threw him out. The Red Sox, I think that sunk the ship for them. They were on a charge. They were building momentum, and they cut it down. And so I think the X factor is late inning runs and Martin Maldonado.
And Eric, before I throw to you, I just want to say, whenever I've recapped any of the games on Locked On MLB this postseason involving Houston, I seem to constantly use the phrase, the game was a lot closer than the final score would indicate when it comes down to the Astros. Because it always seemed like, well, it was 4-2, but then they scored 4 runs in the – so it was like it sounded like a blow. Like, what, game 4 was 2-2 with 2 outs in the 9th inning, and the final score, it looked like they blew them out. No, right. The final score was close. It was misleading. I kept saying that phrase over and over again because the Astros, you know, kept piling on. Eric, what do you think one of the X factors is here?
I already said the X factor. It's going to be Jose Urquidy. How deep can he go? Especially, you want to save the bullpen, especially in the 7-game series. There's going to be a lot of, you can't go, you may not be able to go Christian Javier for 2-3 innings because of the no DH, especially in Atlanta. So that's something that you have to take consideration. So in game 3, you definitely need him to go 5-6 innings, and he's going to probably have to bat a few times. We'll see how Dusty handles that situation. But I think that Urquidy has got to set a tone. So let's say the Astros split the first 2 games, then you definitely want to get that game 3 in Atlanta. I know Atlanta fans are going to be doing tomahawk chop and that whole, I did, that's the first time I guess I watched a Braves game yesterday, and I guess they turn the lights off and then do the whole phone chop or something. But it seems like it's a pretty cool atmosphere there. But I think the Astros seem to play well on the road, and they there's that one series I forgot, wasn't the Washington Nationals series where the road team won all the games, and so there's no such thing. I mean, sometimes there's a home field advantage, but there's sometimes not. But
it's overrated in baseball. It's really overrated in baseball, home field advantage, except for the walk-off situation. I wanted to just put in a quick final word before I get people's predictions here. I am, despite Astros Twitter hatred of me, I am an impartial observer on this particular World Series. I want a 7-game series. That's what I want. I want it to go down the wire. I want it to be a 7-game series. I want it to be thrilling games, much like the 1991 World Series, the single greatest World Series I ever saw in my life, where I was a sophomore in college watching that, and just sort of every game was just like an all-you-can-eat buffet of awesome. Now, I think that things for an impartial person, I know there's all the other narratives. There are things about the Astros that I think would be fun to see if they win. Not the least of which, Zach Greinke is one of my favorite people in baseball for a lot of different reasons, off the field and on the field. I've always admired him as a player and as a human being, what he means to some people and his absolute bluntness. And I've always been a fan of his. He deserves a ring. Dusty Baker is one. If he wins the World Series, then I know a lot of sports writers' heads will explode when I say this sentence. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. What else does he have to do on his resume, especially with what a manager has become in 2021? What else does someone like Dusty Baker need to do? On the other hand, Freddie Freeman is one of the single most likable stars in all of baseball. I would feel badly for Ronald Acuna Jr., one of my favorite players in baseball, to have the Patrick Ewing theory take place as he goes down and they win. But I would feel great for Snitker and have it be a wonderful message that, you know what, sometimes you should hire a manager with some experience, even if it's minor league experience. It doesn't always have to be the best friend of the guy in the front office. It doesn't always have to be the Aaron Boones of the world who's like, yeah, I've never coached anywhere, but give me the car keys to a major franchise, as opposed to let's bring in someone who has served their time in the organization. And also Anthopoulos giving everyone a clinic of how to turn a mediocre team into a potential World Series champion. So there are a lot of narratives there, but I want the narratives to be on the field. I want seven great games. I want them to be tight. I want them to be walk-off games. And I want to not know the names of any of the umpires in any of the games. Yeah, that would be heaven for me. So let's go around the horn here. Jake, what is your... I know everyone's going to be biased in their predictions, so I'll give you my unbiased prediction. Jake, tell me your prediction.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a very good series. I think these two teams match up pretty evenly. I think the offenses are pretty even. I'd give the Astros the edge. Obviously, they were one of the best offenses in all of baseball. I think the edge for the starting pitching would go towards the Braves, and I think the bullpens are very even. So I think these two teams match up very well. If the Braves can split the first two in Houston, I think they win at least two in Atlanta. I know y'all are just talking about home field advantage. The Braves have been very good at Truist Park this year, including two walk-offs to start off that Dodgers series in Truist Park. So I think home field advantage does mean a lot to them for a team that hasn't been to the World Series since 1999. Those fans are going to be geared up and ready for it. So if the Braves can split those two in Houston, I think they win at least two of three in Atlanta. And then I think it goes back to Houston. And this is where I think the experience for the Astros takes over. And this is my biggest concern with the Braves. Are they just happy to be here, or are they ready to punch their ticket? Because, I mean, this is a team that has been trying to get over that hump and get back to the World Series for so long. You know, of course, I know they want to win it. They're going to say all the right things. But mentally, have they been like, okay, we got over that hill. We're here. And are they just going to be, you know, happy with that? Or how mentally are they going to be into it to finish things off? But I certainly think they're capable of it, but I'm going to have to go with the Astros in seven because of their experience. They've been on this stage. I think this is another stepping block for the Braves, much like how they blew the 3-1 lead to the Dodgers last year's NLCS. You know, they get over that this year. I think this is another kind of building block for them, and they come back and win it, you know, next year or the year after that, because they are still a very good young team that's going to be here for years to come. But if I had to make a prediction here, I'd go with the Astros mostly because of their experience.
Remember, they thought the Nationals were happy to be there too in 2019. Yep. Okay, let's go to Eric. Let's get your pick.
Well, I think this may be selfish, but I have tickets for game three at home. So that would be game six. And I think that the Astros would get it in game six. I would love to be there in that situation to be able to celebrate within that situation. But I just think that makes the most sense. I think that they'll probably maybe split the series at Minute Maid Park, the first two games. And then I think the Astros would do the same thing they did in Boston. They'll win two of the games in Atlanta and then take care of business at home in game six. So I just think that's how I see it go in my head. And I know betonline.ag has the Astros odds of winning World Series as negative 135, which is so they favor the Astros to win the World Series as well. So I just want to throw it out there.
H-Town, who do you got?
Well, I've got the Astros in six, but I've got the Astros winning the first two, and I've got the Braves winning the next two. and then the Astros winning the next two. I think the Braves basically makes it look like they're stealing momentum, but the Astros don't leave town without a 3-2 lead, and they come back and clinch it to game six. And why I envy Eric now, because I got tickets to game two and he got tickets to home game three. So great thinking on your part, Eric. But I don't think the Braves go without a fight. I think it's going to be a good series. I hope it's great baseball. I do hate that Ronald Acuña Jr. is not in this game, because he is a star that I've wanted to see play in person that I haven't been able to see. Best wishes to him. I know it sucks
being on the sidelines.
Yeah, Lance McCullers. And so, but yeah, I think it goes six. I think you might have a couple blowout games, but for the most part, it's going to come down to the bullpen and who can close out the game.
All right. I want Astros fans and Astros Twitter to listen to me very, very closely, because you've said bad words to me and I've said some bad words to you. Okay. I am picking the Houston Astros to win the 2021 World Series. And Eric, you're going to be mad at me. You wasted your money. I'm picking them in five. And I'll tell you why I'm picking them in five. I think we are going to say, after a lot of the games, it was a lot closer than the final score indicated. I don't think the Braves have faced an offense like this. And I think that there's going to be some of those pitchers who may be a tiny, weeny bit gassed, and suddenly Correa hits a three-run bomb, and that 3-2 game becomes a 6-2 game. And I think that's going to happen more than once in this series. What I personally want is game seven to go 19 innings and have it be the fill-in-the-blank game, and people walk around like, oh, man,
hey,
I didn't expect that. That's what I want. What I think will happen is, I just think, and again, Jake, don't take this the wrong way. This is not me. Believe me, this is not me as an Astros fan. This is me thinking, I just don't think the Braves have faced an offense this good. And I think that there's going to be a couple of games that are going to get away from them. I think the Braves are going to win a game at home. I think the Astros are going to win the first two games. Braves will win game three. Astros take care of business, and there's going to be like a 17-2 game, which would be 2-1 going into the ninth. You know, it's going to be one of those things happening.
If you look behind me on my wall, is the Astros jersey that I wore to that game. I still own that. To the 18-inning game, Astros.
The Chris Burke game.
Yes, the Chris Burke game. I wore that jersey to that game. That's how long I've had that jersey. So that's why I hung
it. We're coming full circle, talking about Chris Burke at the beginning and the end here. So
that's right, man.
There you go.
Astros legend. Circle.
Hopefully it goes much differently this time. I'll say one thing to kind of counterpoint you, Sully. The Dodgers offense is pretty good as well. And the Braves held them down pretty well. I mean, they got MVPs hitting at the bottom of that lineup. So I get what you're saying. This is by far going to be the best offense the Braves face, but they faced a pretty good one in the Dodgers as well, and were able to hold them down enough to win that series.
Jake, have you seen my predictions? I've basically clinched the World Series for the Braves.
Is that what you were doing? You're playing
a
little
bit? No, I swear. I'm making my real
prediction here. But does Mr. 19, you know what, does he trump yours, because he picked the Braves in six? I think he did.
Nightingale?
Mr. Nightingale. I think so.
Okay. Oh, great.
I think he picked the Braves in six.
Then the Braves.
Sorry, Dick.
The real question is that.
See you guys. We'll try again next year.
actually, I'm joking. That was a parody account. Dang it. Right. I couldn't.
Well, hey, everyone, by the way, I want to thank everyone for making Locked On MLB your first listen. We're available wherever you get podcasts for free. But I think you now know what your second and third listens are. I won't tell you which order you're supposed to listen to them. Jake, tell people where they can follow you and listen to your great show.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. I also write about the Braves over at tomahawktake.com. And obviously you can listen to us at Locked On_Braves on Twitter and Locked On Braves podcast.
And H-Town and Eric, you're regulars here in Locked On MLB. Tell people where they can follow you both individually and as a podcast.
All right. Well, you can find me at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. You can also find us on, we are on YouTube and we are doing pretty well right now. And go ahead and give us a like, subscribe to us and make us your first listen every day, even before Sully. No, that's fine. I'm just kidding, Sully. But you can find my co-host at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter. And where else can you find you?
They can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive. Let's go always 21 positive. World Series. Always Stros.
Always Stros. Well, there you go. I picked them, so I just doomed them. You can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods. And I'm on YouTube. I'm hoping to be a YouTube influencer just like H-Town and Eric are. We're at Locked On MLB on YouTube. And I'm your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And hey, let's just talk about one other great show. Thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen, some combination of Braves and Astros your second listen. And when you get to your fourth listen, make it Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Eric Lighton, another friend of the show, is a prospect encyclopedia. And he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. Which Rays star will be traded to the Cardinals? We'll find out soon. It's free and available on all platforms. But hey, for everyone else, hey, thanks for listening. I hope you had fun. I had a lot of fun doing this with H-Town Wheelhouse, with Eric, with Jake. And I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. This has been Locked On MLB for the 25th day of 2021. Please call me Sullivan.